and happy new year to the PFFL universe. I am your host and your former champion now this week, and welcome to the Hootenanny podcast. Today I'll be without my co-host Luke Halpert, but we will have a very special championship edition as we sit down with the two members of 12 Lawrence, Matt Markowitz of It's Always Sunny in Running in Philadelphia, and our newly crowned champ, Josh Levin, the Jew who runs the zoo. We'll talk about the matchup. Josh's first win off Hofstra University's campus. Marco's magical run coming to an end. And what's next for these teams and this league as a whole? Good evening and happy new year to you guys once again. Welcome to the podcast. And you know what? Sometimes we leave room for some BSing, but I think there's a whole universe out there that wants to hear from one man and one man only. It's the zookeeper himself, the big JL, Josh Levin. Take the mic, address your league, address your championship. For the first time in 10 years, you have bottles popping.
Well, thank you. You might want to save the bottles for someone who will actually drink them, but thank you anyway. It's been great. I'm very, very happy to finally be a champion again. It feels like so long since I won it the last time that it almost didn't even happen. I was basically a kid. I was 22, just graduated college. A lot has happened. I've come close in the 10 years since, or 9 years since. And I've had some really awesome teams that didn't win. I've had some not so good teams that still made the playoffs, but it finally happened. And I'm just really happy that I was able to win. It just feels like kind of like the monkey's off the back a little bit, because it was getting to be a long drought, and I needed it.
You needed it and you got it done. And who better than to do it against one of your absolute brothers, bosom babies from college all the way to today? Marco's married. You're going to get married in June. Is this championship almost like a culmination, or like, is it a chapter closing on the last 10 years of the league for you? How do you even put this into your brain and what this ring means to you and in the grand scheme of things of your life right now, Josh?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good way to end last year and a good way to start this year, which is going to be a good year for me personally, obviously. So that's kind of cool, I think. And yeah, I think it does kind of like close the chapter, because for the previous 9 years or so, I guess eight since I last won, those seasons in between, like immediately after that, I think I came in last place twice in a row, or at least I was bottom three twice in a row. And then everyone was like, you know, saying that it was an asterisk championship because of the fire sale, and it was still a 10-man league, and it wasn't PPR or half PPR. So, you know, it was like, you know, for a couple of years there was a little bit of like, oh, you know, it wasn't real, whatever. But then I started to get my shit together and figure out how to actually be good at fantasy football. And once I actually figured out a way to sustain being good, I still couldn't get it. So it was like, I always felt like I did well in the drafts. I did well in trades. You know, I would always be in like the top four or five in the standings, but this just like validates it, I guess, in a way that like not winning it, I never would have felt like, you know, I am as good as I feel like I am. And I know it sounds dumb because it's fantasy and it's not in our control, but like, I still take pride in doing a good job. And, you know, we all invest like a crazy amount of time into this, and obviously money, it's not a small buy-in. That prize pot, you know, while the belt is first to me, the prize pot is a nice thing to also get. So like, just to spend that amount of time and money on something and to not get anything out of it sucks. So to finally, you know, get it again, you know, it's really nice. And I don't even remember in 2014, like what the buy-in was. If I'm sure it was never a free league that we did, but it was probably like $50 or something. So like, it's crazy to think how far it has come now. And yeah, I mean, the money is nice, but I care more about the belt, obviously, that title. I never had the belt because it didn't exist the first time. So now I finally get it.
Yeah, you're like a pre-merger Super Bowl team almost,
Yeah.
where like
Like the,
they didn't
yeah.
have, like now they do like a whole city event. There's the whole the pomp and circumstance, and you're like, you know what? I wouldn't mind that happening to me. Once again, Josh wins 143.36 over a 7-7 team in the seventh seed. Matt Markowitz putting up 124.2. Marco, what else can we say? You have doubters. I'm on the call. I'm never shy about doubting you, and you always seem to prove me wrong. And it looked like for a good bit of this matchup that you're going to prove me wrong again. How are you feeling after last week? And just what are your general thoughts right now?
Yeah, appreciate that, Drew. And congrats again to Josh. That was just a hell of a championship. Yeah, it's crazy. I think we all know it, the way the season started, the way I came into the playoffs. I was not, and probably no one else was expecting me to be here. But yeah, somehow Marco Magic worked its way yet again to push me to the brink of a third title and become the most decorated champion in league history. But we go again next year. But yeah, it was challenging, right? The whole year. I think I started out 1-4, 1-5, whatever it might be. And there was definitely a part of me that just was like, should I just throw in the towel? This season seems to be a wash. But I mean, hey, I'm a previous champion two times over. It's just not my DNA. So I kept on pushing and things happened. People felt different ways about how things ended up going, but the chips fell where they fell, and you just got to get in, right? And that's what happened. And it was crazy beating two of the top three teams in the regular season in the playoffs to make it to the final game, and came up short. Thought I had it at one point, maybe in the afternoon, but deep down, I was going into this feeling like it just wasn't my year. And you know, people can believe that if they want, and if they think I'm BSing them, that's their decision. But just was just kind of playing with house money, it felt like. And you know, here we are. And like I said, we go again next year.
You were 1-5, and you made a trade, and we all know what happened afterwards. And we look at you now. Since then, 6-2 down the stretch, and you get that seventh seed, that coveted seventh seed. A lot of leagues don't have that seventh seed. That's probably one of the main reasons that we're still on ESPN is that seventh seed, and it just allows for these really awesome runs. And when you have the championship medal, this league does. We have plenty of hardware on this podcast right now. That seventh spot is very dangerous. And no one said it was like, I was glad I didn't play ERA, but I was very scared of Marco's team and seeing Kyren Williams, Nico Collins, Rashad White coming into the playoffs. And you won two playoff games. You took down E, you took down me, and just what a hell of a year to Marco. And once again, congrats to Josh. And right now, we're going to get into our awards and then recap the game some more. So let's get the music. Jamie, can you pull up some music for us? There we go. All right. So, in honor of the holiday season, we're going to say our Camara Christmas Award goes to none other than CeeDee Lamb, putting up 33.7 points down in big Detroit, Rock City. Really set the tone for you, Josh, this week. CeeDee came out strong, came out hot. How'd you feel after CeeDee put up that big performance in Detroit?
Awesome. He was just so fun to watch all season. I feel like ever since I got him, it started that week. Well, I got him on the bye week, and then the next week he had, I think, 35. So starting from that point on, is just like every week he was just, you know, I would say maybe the best player in the whole league, skill position wise, maybe besides McCaffrey. And so yeah, I mean, just I said to myself going into that game against Detroit, because it was an amazing matchup on paper, I said, I need another 30 burger. If I get a 30 burger, I'm going to feel pretty good about things. And then he did it. And he had his projection in the first quarter. So once that happened, I was like, whatever else happens, the rest of this game is good. But then, you know, it was just that's a championship performance right there.
Absolutely. And not to mention this guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the only non-quarterbacks this playoff season with 20 plus points per playoff game. So, Josh, while you had CeeDee Lamb there for your Camara on Christmas award, Sun God was there to back you up as well with a solid 19.1 points. Switching over to our some of the fan favorite award, I would say, it's the Courtland Sutton Human Garbage Trash Bag Award. And there's a lot of options to go this week, especially, unfortunately, for Marco. Fewer on your side of things. I said it was Rashid Shaheed after that big flex performance last week against Los Angeles. Seeing that 2.4 in your lineup, how did that make you feel on Sunday when that came to fruition?
Yeah, I had a lot of decisions to make with my lineup coming into the championship game due to injury, unfortunately, but a lot of potential flex options. So it was definitely flip-flopping around about who to put in there, Shaheed, Robinson, a few other options that, on my bench. But I have to go with, stand by what I did, and thought that there was a good matchup there to be had. It, of course, didn't end up going my way. So it's tough, and then you see some guys on your bench put up a few more points than Shaheed. But when it came down to it, I don't think it really would have made a difference with the way the final score ended up. But yeah, definitely tough. A guy who I'll be wary of in the future for sure.
Yeah, it's at this time of year, you're just hoping for some touchdown upside. And Shaheed has had such great boom weeks. And then, sometimes Derek Carr can rear his ugly head and somehow throw it at other people when he only has like two healthy bodies on that Saints team right now. But really, when you look at the final score, it doesn't seem like a flex spot would have made that much of a difference. So as the Cope, the resident Cope specialist of this league, I don't think I would beat myself up about it too much. And we have a trash bag for you, Josh, as well. You're not just getting a championship belt. Austin Eckler.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, just a gross 3.5. Noah Brown, 1.3, but he got hurt, so we're going to lay off him this week. How cooked is my man Austin Eckler, Josh? What do we think?
As cooked as can be. I think he's done. He never recovered from the injury, which isn't a good sign. It happened week one, and here we are week 17, and he still doesn't look right, which is not a good sign for where he's at. There's a lot of tread on those tires. It's his seventh year in the league, which generally as a running back is sort of when the other shoe starts to drop. So yeah, I mean, it looks like he looks finished. I would say, especially for the amount of money he went for in the draft, he was the biggest bust this year. And the fact that I was able to sustain that, I can't even believe it, to be honest. He was awful.
He absolutely was. And that'll wrap up our trash bags of the week. And we're going to have one special award. We're going to do the Drew Mush Award. And it's going to go to none other than Chase McLaughlin, my player highlighted last week. I said he'd be the difference maker for Marco, maybe possibly get 20 points in that matchup against New Orleans. And he came out with a single extra point, 1 point for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Marco, from me to you, great season, and I apologize for this Drew Mush of the Week.
Hey, you know what? We all make decisions. We got to fill up a lineup each week. Maybe not all of us do, but you know what? For those of us who are going for it, it's tough, and those tough decisions end up making champions.
Well, at least you can blame me for mushing the crap out of your team. So another thing to talk about in this one, Kyren Williams, an absolute league winner, 29 points for Marco. That Giants game, I'm sure, Josh, were you not pulling your eyes out seeing him just run to the end zone again and again?
Yeah, I mean, I knew he'd have a big game, and I kind of felt like that was fine if it was going to happen. But that third touchdown, he scored a third touchdown, and then Baker threw a pick right after. And in that moment, there was like 15 minute span from that third touchdown until Connor's touchdown. I thought it was done. I thought I was going to lose. And I was coming to the realization that it was not going to happen. He's incredible. I think RB4 this year, and he missed 4 or 5 games.
Yep.
He's unbelievable. I mean, that guy is, he's probably not going to last very long because he's short, and McVay is his coach. But for the years that they got him going at the way he is right now, that he's incredible.
Yeah, maybe he'll go the way of the Melvin Gordon, but you know what? He put up some crazy years before he did go. Melvin Gordon was with the Rams, right?
No, Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley. God damn. I knew once I started saying that. I was like, this is going to be one of those things.
He is Todd Gurley.
He is Todd Gurley. Awesome. Marco, once again, no Amari Cooper for you. Kyren Williams going off. What was your most surprising thing to come out of your lineup last week? What'd you say performance-wise?
Performance-wise, I'm assuming you're looking for a positive here rather than a negative since we just talked about the feed. I mean, I think it might be probably my defense, honestly, if I'm thinking about it in totality. I think the Bills put up 21 for me or 19 right around there. I knew it was a solid matchup, but as we all know, it's been an interesting year for the Bills. They've kind of been playing to their opponents, it seems like, and they definitely did not help me out in my matchup against you in the semifinals, but I stuck with them. It was definitely something I was deciding on leading into the championship game if I was going to stick with them or look at, you know, another option. I had Minnesota on my bench and, of course, the waiver wire, but I think I was really pleasantly surprised with how much they did for me. I think they loaded up the stat sheet, and it's always great when you can get a ton of points from your defense, because I feel like we always go into each game hoping for them to hit their projection. And if they go over or hit it, then that's great. But when you get 20 points or 19 points from a defense, it's phenomenal.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Josh, I know you mentioned this before we jumped on the pod. How about that performance from Baker Mayfield? He's having like zero or negative points going into late in the third quarter. And I'm looking at the box score right now, 16 points. That's something you can lay your hat on. What do you think about Baker's performance? And I know you got a little cool nugget for us with your championship team.
Yeah, so it was really bad for most of the game. But like in a real football sense, he was not good. And that's a huge disappointing loss for the Bucs, especially at home when they have a chance to clinch the division. But fantasy-wise, garbage time is sometimes more important than anything else. And they were losing, I think it was at 1.20-0. So once they got down by three scores, I was like, okay, I think there's a chance for garbage time points where he's just going to be chucking downfield. And that's what happened. And then he connected with Godwin, I think, on that long touchdown. And then he had another one a little bit later on. So it started out gross. Like the fact that he had negative points, you know, when he had a 16 projection was just not, wasn't looking good. But yeah, I mean, garbage time Baker kind of saved the day for me. 309 yards passing. I mean, that's great, but those numbers kind of happen when you get down by a lot. So he's partly to blame for that too, with his picks, but at the same time, I'll take it. I had that experience a few weeks prior with Joe Flacco, where he was picked off three times, but because he was throwing 44 times, it ended up not mattering for me. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't fun, but it got the job done. And, yeah, the nugget is interesting because I didn't know if you remembered, Marco, but you mentioned it before we started recording that the year – what year was it that you
– 2019.
2019. So that draft, which – was you drafted Lamar, I drafted Baker, and then that was the season that I had McCaffrey and Dalvin, where, like, I think, I don't know the numbers, but if you had those two players on your teams, I think over 50% of those teams won championships that year, and I didn't even make it out of the first round. And part of the reason was because of the quarterback situation, because Baker was so bad, I ended up having to go, you know, elsewhere. You offered me the night of the draft, straight up, Baker for Lamar. And if I had done that, I definitely would have won the league that year because I would have had the three best players in fantasy. And I said no because generally I don't like trading right after the draft. I kind of just want to see how the team goes for a couple weeks. And obviously that was a terrible decision by me in hindsight. So to bring it full circle and have Baker as my quarterback this time to win it was kind of cool. And all week in my head, I was like, it either has to be full circle Baker and I'm going to win, or I'm going to go down in flames again because of this. And it started out looking like I was going to go down in flames, but just a cool, like, little full circle thing. And it always stuck with me all these years, 5 years later. And you obviously stuck with you as well, because you brought it up first.
Yep. And just to add on there, I definitely remember that. And it was my team name, for anyone who doesn't remember that season, was Baker's Dozen. And it was that going into the draft. Baker was highly touted that year. And part of the reason I wanted him was, of course, because of his skill, but also just to have it align with like my team name for fun in that sense. But yeah, I can remember where I was in my apartment at the time when we were talking about that. And I, like you, I don't usually like to trade right after the draft, but I had my heart set on him going in. So thought I'd, see what was available with you. And yeah, just crazy how it ended up working out and led to me becoming LaMarco Jackson.
And a two-time champion.
That's right. Most importantly.
And there's two-time champions now because of that. So it's titled what?
Oh yeah, yeah. But I'm saying on this podcast right now. Yes. As far as we can offer a champs club, and speaking of looking back at both your guys' drafted rosters, Josh bringing in 5 starting in his championship lineup. We have Jake Elliott, James Conner, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Josh, how do you feel? Do you think that draft paved the way for the season you had?
It's interesting because at the time of the draft, I thought I did pretty well. And in the beginning of the season, it kind of worked out that way. I was getting production out of like Hollywood Brown and Jacoby Myers and Zay Flowers. But I always felt like I was one receiver short. So that's why I made the CD trade with Jules to, get the other star receiver. It ended up being that, I thought I drafted a running back heavy team, but I traded away all the good running backs that I had. And so I thought I was building a team off of the strength of 4 running backs. And those were Eckler, Connor, Taylor / Zach Moss, and Rashad White, who was the other keeper. And I ended up trading away White. I got nothing out of Eckler. It was a weird season for Taylor and Moss. And I drafted Gus Edwards, and I traded him for Jeff Wilson. So I got nothing out of that, too. So I think the draft set me up, though, because if I didn't get CD, I wouldn't have won. The timing worked out perfectly. If I had waited another week or two to trade with Jules for CD, I wouldn't have gotten him, because Jules probably would have traded him to someone else. Or even if he hadn't, the players that I ended up giving him would not have been worth it for Jules. So like, I guess the draft did set me up for success, because the whole season for me came down to the two receivers, Sun God and Lamb. So having Sun God as my keeper and then getting enough pieces together to send to Jules to get CD is what set me up for success. So I don't think if I had kept the team, honestly, I don't know. I haven't done the math, but if I kept the team I drafted all season, I don't even know if I would have made the playoffs, because I didn't get enough production from those other wide receivers. And on top of that, I made some rough trades. I guess it set me up for success because it was all about CD.
Absolutely. And you know what? You made the trades. You also had 73 pickups in their general transactions this year. So you were not resting on your laurels. You were going out there and making sure your lineup was as good as it can be on a week-to-week basis.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, much better now.
Sorry. Yep. So, and speaking of your draft, you mentioned Rashad White, who ended up on your opponent's team, who was absolutely electric down the stretch. Rashad White was awesome. He is a keeper for Marco. Looking at Marco's team from the draft, he had 0 drafted players in his lineup. T.J. Hockenson was still there at the end of the year. He didn't ship his butt out, but he was unfortunately hurt in last week's matchup. Marco, what can you say about your path to the playoffs from draft day to the championship run?
Yeah, I think it kind of had to be. I think this is, if I could remember correctly, probably my most active trade turking year. that I've had, honestly, as part of this league. And just like, as I said earlier, when I started out 1-5, I could either just kind of chalk it up as that was the way my season was going to go, or try and make something happen. So I just went to work trying to see what moves I could make and how I could improve without giving up too much, of course, as we always do. And it was a challenge, right? You know, there was definitely some road bumps, one, maybe some bigger than others. One where I could have had CD on my team and had that nice stack with Dak later on. But who knows, if that trade didn't end up happening, I might not have gone for Dak. So hindsight's 2020, of course. But it was definitely probably my bumpiest path to a finals that I could remember. And I definitely have not started the season out as horribly as I did this year and get as far as I ended up. So a crazy season to look back on. Of course, didn't end up going my way, but just still really happy with what I was able to put together with what as opposed to what I started with, which was a team that I wasn't thrilled with and knew that changes needed to be made in the clubhouse.
Absolutely. And you know what? We've been in this league together all going on 10 plus years now. And it's pretty crazy that I feel like I am still learning things about what to do, whether it's trades or lineups or even just how we go about promos or anything. What would you say your guys' biggest takeaway from the 2023 BFFL season?
I think, well, if we're just talking about like team strategy and stuff like that, I definitely learned to trust my gut a little bit more than I used to. Because end of the day, like you could read an article or look at rankings or whatever and see something and just go based on that. But if you don't think that that's the right choice, at least if you make the choice that you believe in, if it doesn't work, at least you believed in it, rather than, you know, dying on something that you didn't really want to do, but you just felt like you had to because the ranking said so. I think that's a big part of what happened for me in the playoffs, because I had to pick a new quarterback every week. And, you know, in the second round, I started Trevor Lawrence, but my gut told me I shouldn't and that I should start Flacco. And it almost cost me the week. And so I know things like that are definitely, you know, things I have to like take into account more next year. And I mean, just like staying active on the waiver wire, you know, talking to people for trades. These are all things that most of us do anyway. But like you really realize how important it is, especially right now. This is when you can look back the clearest, look at how your team ended and look at how it started. It's probably not close to the same. And if you, you know, had a successful season, you probably did make a lot of changes. I don't want to like call people out by name or anything, but like just for an example, for Luke, who started off so hot to the point where like he didn't want to like break up his team, which obviously made sense, but it didn't end so great. So maybe like there's lessons to be learned there. And you know, I mentioned something a couple weeks ago about, you know, Nick's team with all the start sit decisions. Like those things like that, at least for me, are things I want to avoid. So yeah, I mean, gut instincts, staying busy on trades and waivers. Don't be scared to make moves. I think Marco's a great example of that, because like we just went through it. His whole team that made it to the finals is not the team he started with. And he could have easily just said, and whatever, I'm keeping my team the way it is. But he didn't, and look where it got him. So don't be scared to like tinker and figure out ways to make it better.
Definitely echo all of what you said, Josh. When you posed the question to us, Drew, the first thing that came into my mind was trust your gut. But just to add to that, also for me, block out the noise. I think I'm safe to say I'm probably one of the most scrutinized GMs in the league, and maybe in some instances rightfully so, but you know what, everyone has their way about going about things and taking care of their business, and just got to block out the noise. Things happen throughout the course of a season. It's a long season. Like we've said, we start looking at this stuff in the summer, and here we are in the beginning of the new year and recapping. But being able to block out the noise and kind of pairs into trusting your gut, right? Like trust your gut and then block out the noise. feels like every deal that I make in the history of this league, I'm always on, you know, the bad end of it per everybody else. But you know what? Here I am again, having just come out of another finals that, yeah, it didn't go my way, but it's another finals I've gotten to. I was able to resurrect my season, and the moves that I made at the time I made them ended up being the right moves. And maybe it would have been one or two more just kind of get me over that finish line. But, you know, it is what it is. But blocking out that noise has definitely become a mantra for me.
And you mentioned some of those moves, Marco. What would you say was the move for you that paved this this run this year for it?
Yeah, I honestly think probably, and everyone's probably expecting me to say one over everything else, but I think getting Dak was huge for me. Both of you have better memories than I do. I don't even remember who my quarterback was before him.
It was Trevor Lawrence.
There you go. And he ended up riding a lot of my bench this year once I got Dak. So, yeah, I think picking him up really was the difference maker for me. I know that we could look at the whole deal where I got Amari, Rashad White, and Debo, which was, hey, can't not mention that. That was enormous for me. But getting Dak to kind of be that leader and have a nearly, for maybe a handful of weeks, potential MVP-type season, probably going to Lamar now as we see how things are shaking out. But getting him was a difference maker, and I feel like it kind of gave me the confidence to go forward and know that I was going to get solid points from him week in and week out.
Yeah, I think the Debo, Amari, Rashad White jumped out in my head when I was asking the question. But also, sometimes it's getting rid of a guy before his season kind of goes into the tank. And the Jamar Chase, just no matter what it is, but getting any value from a season that was like marred by like Joe Burrow injuries, he was a little beat up again, and you sold him at the right time, was super big, I thought, for you, and
especially after spending $86 on him in the draft.
Exactly, you know, there's a lot of sunk cost fallacy when it comes to drafts, especially with the auctions. Like, well, I spent half my budget on this guy, like I can't give up on him now. But recognizing when to sell and what the best value is to sell, and you nailed it both. And I remember I was literally in New Zealand at a visitor center eating like the shittiest pizza I've ever had because I was just starving, and I was like eating it and I was hangry, and I was like, Marco Trey Bijan, what is he doing? And you know what? You were like, fuck Arthur the Smith, I'm going to the finals. Shut up, Drew. How about you go back on your head? So once again, another great move for Marco. Josh, do you have a transaction that sticks out in your head that paved your way? Is it CD for you for sure?
Yeah, definitely. That has to be number one. I think, to be honest, if you look at the trades I made, there's some little ones in there. But
I love the Trey McBride deal, looking back.
So that's the next one I was going to bring up, because the other ones weren't great. The Christian Watson, the Rashad White and Gabe Davis for Christian Watson didn't work out at all. Gus for Jeff Wilson obviously was bad. So yeah, the Trey McBride one was big because I needed the tight end badly. I had nothing. I was playing with literally nothing there. Like, I could have just been taking zeros every week and not starting anyone with the way that I was managing that. And I kind of was like, I need to figure this out by the trade deadline, cause I'm not going to probably find something streaming wise. Sant kept picking up every tight end in the league for some reason.
Tight end merger.
Yeah, and he was desperate for receivers, and so like the Christian Watson trade that we made the first time was bad for me. But Sant was like, "I'll take him back." So I said, "Okay, fine, let's do it." And it ended up being the second best trade I made, because he wasn't great the last 2 weeks, but prior to that, I mean, he was taking every target, basically, it felt like, from Kyler, as the Cardinals receiving core was just like falling apart. So yeah, that trade was big for me. I probably wouldn't have made it as far as I did if I had just kept going with like streaming tight ends or trying to find a guy on waivers. So yeah, shout out to Trey McBride.
And also shout out Sant. He just, every good tight end was at least on Sant's roster, it felt like, at one point or not during the season. So let's switch gears a little bit. Those winnings, Josh, you talked about that pot. Do you have any plans for how you're going to spend that money and what you're going to do with it?
Yeah. I bought a CD jersey and I bought a James Conner jersey. Nice. And the rest of it is going into the wedding fund. So
awesome.
Yeah. So that's what it's going for. So you guys can thank yourselves when you're at the wedding. If there's something that you see there that you find nice, just know that the BFFL fund had something to do with it. So that's where the money went. It's already gone. It's well, not gone, but it's already where it needs to be.
Perfect. And Marco, think second place gets their money back, right?
Yes. Yep. The 200.
Oh, awesome. So, was there any plans of like, you know what, just keep it, just rolling into next year? Or are you just like, you know what, just.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was good to be able to like, you know, it was basically a financially free season of fantasy, but I don't know. We'll see. We're headed to Florida in a few days, so maybe a nice dinner or we'll see what happens with that. But if not, I'll probably just roll it into next year.
Enjoy your next 2 days of your dry January. I'm sure.
Thank you.
Let's talk off season plans. Does anyone have any like leanings and towards the direction of your franchise? Are you going to bring a new GM in there? Character, of course, kayfabe, or any like leanings in terms of keepers for any of you guys?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely keeping Sun God because I got one more year of him for free. So hopefully that's not the last time I ever have him, but he'll definitely be back. And then the second spot, it's a little bit of a question. I definitely didn't, the Rashad White trade was bad. Like I should have just not done that. Cause he would have been the other option. So the other choices for me right now, Trey McBride would be a dollar. And then Jonathan Taylor would be 17. I want to see how he looks this week. And if the Colts make the playoffs, I want to see how he looks in the playoffs before I make that choice. Cause it would be better to have the full auction budget or as close to it as possible. But yeah, if I can get a running back one, which he could be for $17, that seems like a good choice.
Absolutely. Marco, how are you feeling?
For me, I definitely think I'll probably try for the sake of the league and maybe just add a little bit more fun for myself, try to add a little bit of the Marco magic into next season's squad. But, you know, from a character perspective, so haven't really fleshed that out quite yet. Still kind of wrapping up this year as we're doing here. So definitely stay tuned for that. I also am looking at just kind of how I go about the auction, right? I think these first 2 years that we've done it, I've gotten a little excited and spent a little bit on more than a little bit on a few stud type guys. And hey, you know, I'm talking to you both on this pod. I did something right, but this year. But I think starting out the year in a bit more of an even keeled way, seeing it definitely was tough not having the budget in the draft later on, seeing you guys kind of get some solid players to fill out your rosters and kind of picking up the scraps, if you will, towards the end. And then from a keeper perspective, I think and please correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, because you guys know I forget all this stuff, but I think looking at like Kyren and Rashad would definitely be smart for me. I'm not sure about prices off the top of my head. I leave that to you all. I'll check back in a few months about all that. But looking at them, I think is definitely the smart move for me. You know, receivers, I like, of course, having Nico and Debo, but I don't think that necessarily gonna work out. But you know, I think Kyren is probably right up there, and looking at Rashad White would be smart too.
Yeah, actually I didn't realize how many options you have. You also have TJ Hawkinson for $0 right. on your IR,
and he's a guy who I definitely feel close to. I feel like I've had him a little bit on my roster now, and tough to see him go down like that. So it feels like if he ends up on a different roster next year, that'll definitely feel weird for me.
Now, here's a guy. All right. So just to wrap up, can we just touch on, is there anything, if you could change one thing about BFFL going into next season, if you are the magic commish wand and you can change anything about the league, what change would you make for next season? And as we're talking about the future and all that, would love to see what you guys think about that.
That's a good question.
I don't know if you maybe need another minute, Josh, and this isn't so serious, but off the top of my head, in the position that I'm in, I would love to see the prize money that the second place team and somebody in your position, Drew, who won the regular season title, swapped. Yeah. I definitely would like to see that, you know, 500 and 200 swapped. But you know what? I know it's easy for me to say that right here with what just happened. It's difference of $300, but hey, $300 is $300. But I digress about that. You know, it's definitely tough to get both of those things, top in the regular season and a runner up for the championship. But other than that, I don't know, maybe pushing something with like the week that the trade deadline is. I'm not necessarily sure if we could push it by a week. Just kind of spitballing here. I think it's maybe okay where it is, but just kind of messing with that would be fun, as well as our fab budget, right? Like kind of playing around with that. Maybe there's some implications for people who aren't, you know, keeping up with things to be able to like lose some of that throughout on a week to week basis. If maybe they're not setting their lineups in the way that they should be, stuff like that, just kind of getting a bit more strict from that perspective. But again, just kind of spitballing and throwing things out as they come into my mind.
I'm sure we'll be talking about all those things. Josh, what do you got?
So I think this one is just topical. I don't really have any rules based things at the moment, but if you don't pay your dues by the draft, you don't get the draft. So
yeah,
you can get your team auto drafted and pay after, or you can pay before and then you can enjoy the fantasy season. You don't get to not pay and then draft and then still not pay and get to play a playoff game and get to make all the moves and trades you want. And then when you get eliminated, not pay. So not that this person is ever going to be listening to this, but on the off chance he does, you owe Sant $200. The commissioner should not have to pay someone's dues. I appreciate the fact that he did, because then I don't have to hunt down the missing money from my pot. But yeah, that's just not okay. And so hopefully we can not have this happen ever again.
Yep. Shout out Sam for doing that. Great, great job by the commish. And then also a lack of shout out for whoever that person who may have not paid is. Also, general thoughts on promos. I know there was some discussion of like lack of promos for finals. Do you think we're at year 11 now? We've had some promos this year and then kind of died out in the middle, and then we had some promos playoffs. And then what's your thoughts on that going into next season?
I think it, and Josh, I am assuming that maybe you feel somewhat similarly here, so let me know if not. But I think it's kind of should be left to, if you feel like doing it, then do it. No set rules around it. If on like a certain week you're feeling it, I know game of the week is a certain thing where it's kind of like we've had in the past where if you're the game of the week, you have to promo. I think if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. I definitely was like up for it in the semifinals against you, Drew. I think that it's always fun to kind of like draw back and forth with certain GMs. But coming into, I know, this championship, like the creative juices just like weren't necessarily there for me. I just, you know, as we said at the top, like Josh is a brother. Like I didn't have anything like, you know, to dig him on or anything like that. I knew it was going to be a battle, and it was just going to be, you know, who's going to kind of like, you know, edge the other one out. He ended up beating me by like 19 points. It wasn't necessarily edging me out, but I feel like the promo should be up to the GMs, and if they want to do it, fine. If not, like, this is a great platform that you've gone ahead and built for people to kind of get their points across and discuss certain topics. So that's my thoughts on it.
I agree with you. I think if you want to do it, fine. If not, I think it's also okay. I don't think anyone should feel pressured to do it or feel pressured not to do it because they think maybe some people are, you know, don't care or something. Like, at least speaking for myself, I'll always watch. If they're made, I'll always watch them. I'll always engage with them. I may not feel the same desire to do it myself, but I don't think anyone should feel like they can't or, you know, whatever. So yeah, like if that's something that, you know, is going to be a discussion during the off season, like I'm totally for keeping them for those that want to do them. And yeah, like this is another great, like you said, this is another great place to kind of get, do those same sorts of things, but maybe without, you know, those other elements that we used to incorporate a lot more. Cause like you said, Marco, like I don't have the, it's just not, how my brain works, I guess, this is better for me.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. But I appreciate the people that do them, though. You know, I always say that.
Always. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like what you say, Drew, when you're 11, like, it's tough. Some of us are more creative than others. It's tough to come up with like certain things to entertain. Like, we're in the entertainment business, right? And it's like, it feels like, you know, you kind of maybe run the gamut. I think back to great characters in the past, and it's unbelievable what people have been able to come up with. But at the end of the day, some of us just want to talk ball.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I kind of feel. Whether it's like saying promos are gone for good, or maybe you do like a game of the month thing where it's like you space it out or what have you. Like I don't want anyone to feel bad when they're doing stuff and then other people aren't doing stuff, or like maybe they're putting it in and then they realize no one's watching. Like, you know what? Like, we jump on this podcast every week and I don't know who watches or who doesn't watch. It's fine to me, because, you know, people got things going on, you know. Sometimes people are open books in chat, and sometimes people are just like going through it in a week, and you know what, don't feel like just recording something, and that's okay too. I just don't think we can lose out in the fact of like how absolutely competitive this league is. And this league, while when Josh won that first title, maybe it was just like, oh, another college league that I'm in. We're in year 11. We have seen what it takes to win and to get an edge on these 11 other guys, and it's really, really tough. And from being in any other league, I have not felt this kind of, whether it's stress, exuberance, or what have you, when it comes to winning and losing in a fantasy league. So I just don't want us to lose what's still good about this league if we're losing maybe some stuff that we really used to enjoy that we may not have the time or energy for. That's what I would say.
Well said.
Yes. And you know what? Before we get out of here, we're going to do one last fun game with our champion. And we're going to play the game. Who was on your championship last time you won it? Josh, we're going to put 60 seconds on the clock. And you're going to name your starting lineup when you won back all the way in 2014.
Okay. Well, I know the quarterback was Ryan Tannehill, because I only win championships with random quarterbacks. Running backs were Jamaal Charles and Matt Forte. Dez Bryant. I might be stumped already. Who else did I have?
Who were the good defenses back then?
Seahawks?
Maybe.
Seahawks? I don't know. Did I have them?
You did not have the Seahawks. You had a current New York Jet in your wide receiver spot.
Oh, Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb, number five. Your tight end was a New York Giant.
Oh, Larry Donnell.
Yes.
We're
over a minute, but I want to see how many you can get.
All right. Okay, that's probably it, because I need
Denver running back.
Oh, yeah, this guy was big for me, CJ Anderson. I picked him up like right at the end of the season, and he was a big part of that team.
And then finally, it was the Texans defense.
They did have a good defense back then.
That makes sense.
And Cody Parkey. But the names on the bench are also pretty fun. Nile Davis for the Chiefs. Shout out Doug Baldwin. Shout out Darren Sproles. Shout out Phillip Rivers. Wow. DeAndre Hopkins, who's still in the league. And Jordan Matthews.
You'd hop on the bench. That's interesting. I wonder if he was hurt.
He's probably hurt.
I wish I could look, because now I'm looking at the teams, and you click on the player, and they don't pop up with the game logs anymore, so it's hard to know the circumstances. Like, why was I starting Tannehill and not Phillip Rivers?
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's quite a trip down memory lane. A lot of those people are very irrelevant. I will say this, actually, though. So Dez Bryant, that year, I traded to get him from Luke. I don't remember what I traded, but it was a 2-for-1. I know that. And then this year I get the other 88 from the Cowboys. So there's something with that number and that team that helps me get over the hump. So
Josh, big Jerry Jones mark. apparently, he loves those big X receivers for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, guys, thank you so much. So what a great year in fantasy football. Marco, from the doldrums of 1-5 to the glory of fantasy, Josh Levin, finally being found as one of, if not the greatest, general manager this league has to offer. Guys, thank you guys so much for coming on once again. Any final things you want to get out to the league before you say goodbye for the offseason?
I just want to give a shout out to a couple of people on my team that I didn't really get to talk about too much. James Conner, I have a history with him. One of my old people from the previous finals team I made when I lost to Nick. Jonathan Taylor from 2 years ago. Sun God, obviously. Baker, we went through it. There was a lot of unfinished business I had this year with people on my team. And I kind of went into the draft with that thought process in my mind, and it kind of worked out perfectly. So, just those guys are forever going to be some of my favorite players. So thank you to them for giving this anonymous person a championship victory.
Sometimes before you can move forward, you have to go back. And that's what Josh did this year. Marco, last thoughts before you sign off for the offseason.
Yeah, no, wild season. Unbelievable how it ended up where I was able to get to. But just hats off to Josh on phenomenal year, second title, three members of the Two Timers Club. And, other than the belt, your Two Timers jacket should be arriving shortly here before the end of the month. So be on the lookout for that in the mail.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for us on the Hootenanny Podcast. Shout out Luke. He's really the guy that is in our DMs every week saying, what are we going to do? I'm putting a rundown together. And he gets a much needed vacation, some time off. So shout out to him down in Florida with the family. Shout out Josh. Shout out Mark. And you know what? We're not going away, bro. I'm pretty free in the off season. We're going to do some fun. We got awards coming up. We got season retrospective, state of the franchise podcast, and much, much more here on the Hootenanny Podcast. For our champion, Josh Levin, for our runner-up, but the magician himself, Matt Markowitz, I'm Drew Fertitta. Love you guys. Signing off, and we'll hear from you guys soon.